they focus their attention on what's being said. May every word have value to them. Father, anoint my lips to speak the word in such a way that, Father, if there's any offenses that come from this pulpit, may it be the word of God and not me. So, Father, I ask that you anoint my lips to speak truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Amen. Praise God. We've been talking about vision for three Sundays. We want to continue on. And some of the areas that we covered about vision is, number one, vision has a natural side as well as a spiritual side. We brought out that the components of natural vision are different than the components of spiritual vision. And that has to be made clear and understood. I forgot who I was talking to before the service. Oh, I think it was Donna. And she asked me a question about natural vision. And you must understand that natural vision is okay. It's okay to have vision for the natural. How many understand what I'm talking about? Because if you don't have vision for the natural, what do you have vision for? Well, it's okay to have vision for the natural, but it should be dominated or controlled by spiritual vision. So spiritual vision is what you grow into, you develop into, so that your natural vision is more stable, more direct, more correct, and in the right direction. But to just have natural vision alone without spiritual vision, you could shipwreck. And I'll tell you what, we got a whole world shipwrecking. If you don't believe me, just go home and turn the TV on. I mean, it'll tell you that the whole world is in a shipwrecked state. But they have no spiritual vision that the church has the opportunity of. They have a lot of natural vision, but without spiritual vision, natural vision don't mean anything. You know, what price does a person put on their soul? You hear about all these people that are famous and they die, and they hadn't even received, they're not even interested in spiritual things. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you step outside this veil, this tent, this physical body, and you step over into the spiritual realm, how many of you know, your whole vision is totally different. You begin to realize that the very tent that you walked in, if it was the only thing that ordered your life and that was the only vision you had, then what about the vision that goes beyond the veil of flesh? You know, what good is that? If your whole life was spent for the comfort and the provision of that natural man, and now you've got a spiritual man that has crossed that veil of flesh, and he's over into the spiritual realm, and then his spirit is now returned back to the judgments of God, and yet it never even acknowledged God all the time it was in this earthly realm, then the Bible's very clear. What good does it do for a man to obtain the entire world and lose his own soul? That's talking about a man stepping off into the spiritual realm and all of a sudden get a revelation. Whoops, I'm going in the wrong direction. Yeah. And yet, we make light of that, but that's a serious place to be. Amen? You know, it grieves my heart to know when people pass on into eternity, when they have the testimony they don't know whether they were saved or not. Boy, that grieves my heart. You know, because it's like taking a natural life. You know, remember I said, godly vision is eternal life. Natural vision is temporal life. If we spend our whole life for that which is temporal and not do anything about that which is eternal, then what happens then? Did you know that people that do not get born again, did you know they still have eternal life? How many of you know that? The problem is their eternal life is not the God kind of life. And we owe it to a dying world to receive Jesus. That's why God has given me vision just here recently more than anything. I said, God, our church is diseased. We need to grow. When something doesn't grow, it's because it's diseased. I said, God, what do I need to know to get our church to grow? And he says, you need to understand how to be a fisher of men. And he says, when you understand it, your people will understand it. And he's now showing me how to make you all fishers of men. And when I get it complete in my spirit, you're not going to stop this church from growing. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not interested in going after disgruntled church members or goats. I'm interested in creating sheep that will follow. And God's going to show me how to do that. He told me not to try and reach the unreachable, but reach the reachable. Who are the reachable? The unsaved. And another thing he's been showing me about salvation. He said, I didn't call anybody into the kingdom for conversion. Conversion is just a part of the kingdom.
Right.
He says, but I call the church to win their souls. And winning a soul is not conversion. That's just the doorway or the entrance in to winning the soul. He that winneth souls is wise. It's not referring to conversion there. It's referring to getting a man to a place where he's so independent in God that God is his entire source and not a church.
Right.
And we've got to get people to that place, and we can do it. He's showing me how. I said, God, make me a fisher of men. So he's going to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been studying vision. And in vision, there's a natural and spiritual side. The natural vision has to be governed by that which is spiritual for good success. Because whether you're not saved or whether you are saved, you have eternal life. One's just not godly, and one is. Amen. Now, we brought out that number one, vision has to have the ability to see beyond that which is natural. That's why vision is always containing the substance of faith. Matter of fact, faith is your vision. Because the word, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the things that are seen were not made out of things that appear. Did you know that when he said we're not made of things which appear? You can put in there circumstantial. God kind of faith is not circumstantial. If you adhered to the Word of God and you have hope in God's Word, guess what will happen? God guarantees that what you will see is the operation of the Word, and you'll discover that it's not made out of that which appears. Satan's number one goal is to get you to be always bound up by what appears rather than what is. And listen, this natural realm has truth in it, but this natural realm is not the source of truth. Until we get a revelation of that, we'll always be limited in how we're going to trust God when he has said something from his own mouth. That's why you've got to understand the Logos is not the written Word of God. It also is the spoken Word of God, but the origin is different. God spoke it. Man also speaks it, Rhema. God speaks it, Logos. Man speaks it, Rhema. How many understand what I'm talking about? Now, one thing about spiritual vision and natural vision, if natural vision is governed by spiritual vision, then you will succeed. Now, I'm going to tell you what natural vision is that's governed by spiritual. I want to show you what natural vision is that's governed by spiritual. Okay? If natural vision is governed by that which is spiritual, then the things that the world desires will come to pass in your life. Now, what are the things that the world desires, Pastor? When you make that statement, what do you mean? They took a poll. There was a poll given about what people in the majority of the world wanted to see in their life. And when I was listening to that, I got to thinking, my gosh, that's vision. Here's one of them. The number one at the top of the list is that people want to be loved. They want to be loved. In that, they voiced the opinion they wanted a mate who would treat them with love. Number two, the number second one, was to be financially free. The third one was they wanted to succeed in life, business. They wanted to succeed in business. Another one was, I want my husband to get a job. That he gets steady employment, or that I get steady employment. Another one was that my children turn out good. Another one was to be free of fear, death. Another one was to overcome habits of the flesh, drugs. We've even got things advertised on TV, how to overcome habits of the flesh. Nicotine, get a nicotine patch. How'd you get the victory today? Took a patch, man. You know, 15, 20 years ago, you said that, they'd look at you like, gee, you crazy, man. But we're developing all kinds of sources to get rid of habits of the flesh. Problem is, get them under the right circumstance, they'll fall back into it. Another one was to be free of sickness. This included the children. This is kind of the poll. And guess what, people? There's nothing wrong with having those kind of visions, but I'm going to tell you what. That's more of a natural thing than a spiritual thing. But when you get spiritual vision, you'll find that these natural visions will come into play. They really will every time. When God's Word can get into the heart of a person, you'll have a good family. When God's Word gets into the heart of a believer, he'll become sickness-free. Are you following what I'm saying? When the heart of a believer, when the Word of God gets to the heart of a believer, he will be set free financially. Why? Because if he's under the stewardship of God, God is a man who could walk through planet Earth quite well, thank you. And if you attain to his mind, you'll do the same. So spiritual vision is very important. We brought out the components of spiritual vision was, again, you have to have the ability to see beyond that which is temporal or natural. And then we brought out that you have to, at times, ignore what certain people say because it can affect on your ability to have vision beyond that which is natural. Number two, we brought out that faith has to have the right attitude to believe with. Because if you have the wrong attitude about anything, it will kill God's ability to keep vision alive in your heart. Wrong attitudes will kill you. If how many of you have finally found a spark of victory, a joy and peace in your heart, and you were just walking on the mountaintop and you ran into somebody that just seeming, just in one or two or three even words, just pull it, drain it right out of you? Are you following what I'm saying? Because they have the wrong attitude. People can come into this sanctuary and sit down and hear the Word of God, and the person right next to it said, man, that is the best message I ever heard. And the person next to him would say, well, I don't know what you got out of that thing. It's attitude. Are you following me? You can hear the Word of God, but you got to make sure that you have the right attitude to hear the Word of God with, you know. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, if they have the wrong attitude, you're going to hear it wrong. Somebody said, you were preaching right to me, and I didn't appreciate it. Well, if the shoe fits, wear it. Somebody else can have the same thing. I preach to them, and they say, boy, Pastor, you preach right to me, and I thank God for it. Well, what was the difference? Attitude. You know, I got to thinking one time, you know, maybe it's a good thing I do single some of you out and preach right to you. If that's what you need. Amen? Yep. Praise God, because I'm doing you a favor. Do you want me to tickle your ears? No. We brought out how, with the right attitude, a belief becomes a conviction. Because a belief you can argue about, but a conviction, you'll die for it. True. So number three, we want to talk about components. The third component to vision is courage. Courage. The fourth one is hope to endure. But number three is courage. Courage. This is the courage to do or to act on the Word of God. Ideas can be birthed in the bathroom. But a vision or dream will never come alive without action. How many get what I'm saying? There's four comments about courage I want you to notice. Number one, courage rises when the cause is greater than the circumstance. Courage rises when the cause is greater than the circumstance. When I feel discouraged, I refocus on my cause for encouragement. Listen to me. Courage falls when circumstances is greater than the cause. Courage will fall when the circumstances get greater than the cause. You find that in a lot of, not just this church, but in a lot of churches, you'll find disgruntled members, and it's because they don't stay focused on the cause, because they get to looking at the circumstances. That's a thing all pastors face, especially in volunteer help, is to keep volunteer help motivated, because flesh has a tendency to kick back. Are you following me? They have a sense of losing the cause or the purpose for which they're representing. How many follow what I'm saying? And so when the circumstances get greater than the cause, then you will lose courage. You'll even pick up the voice of discouragement. See, the connection between the size of your cause and the size of your courage makes a big difference. Are you guys plugged into what I'm... awful quiet here. Usually I get an amen, you know. Listen, small causes produce weak courage. Small causes produce weak courage. How many of you remember David? You know, I think it was... what's her name that was here? Kate McVeigh. You women didn't come out for those meetings? I hope it wasn't because of money. But do you know what she said? I think it was her that brought up that David made this statement. He goes to bring his little brother some lunch, and Goliath has this big mouth going. He says, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of God? Is there not a cause?
Right.
You want me to paraphrase it in modern English? How come this doesn't tick you guys off? I mean, there's certainly a cause here. The devil's speaking against the armies of God. Where are we at? You know, one thing about the godly men in the Old Testament, they had the courage to maintain vision. Remember the servant that was serving Elisha? What are we going to do? Do you realize a fix we're in? Elijah says, open his eyes, Lord. And what happens? His eyes were open and he saw all the armies of God surrounding them. You know, the devil is sly. His main goal is to keep you circumstantially focused. God's desire is to get you to see beyond that which is natural and get you to see how God's power surrounds you as a son in His kingdom, in spite of who's coming against you. That's why a man who is very spiritually minded cannot be comprehended by that which is carnal, because they see beyond that which is natural. Open his eyes, Lord. He sees this army. But sometimes that's what I say. Lord, open their eyes. Because all they can see is what's natural. Now listen. It's not that you lack courage, but that you lack cause. That's right. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? David said it. Is there not a cause here?
You know, many of you are secret believers at work. Somebody will rise up and speak against the kingdom of God, and you just don't say nothing. You come up with this idea that, well, no matter what I got to say, they wouldn't receive it anyway. I might as well keep my mouth shut. But did you know that God has a way for you to worm your way into everything that they say and the wisdom that is necessary to counterattack that? You know, it says go into the highways and byways. He wasn't saying go do witnessing door to door. He was saying wherever you work, there's your evangelistic field. Wherever you're committed to, there's where you need to evangelize. You lose the cause, you lose any cause, and you'll lose courage. You know, somebody said, well, what is your cause, Pastor? And I tell them, well, if you don't know what my cause is by now, my gosh, you've been here that long and you don't know what my cause is? Now, how many of you know that I don't operate perfectly sometimes in my cause? But my cause always... Get your hand down, Mike, or I'll slap that thing. Mike goes... But my cause, we have the slogan. We're here to dedicate it to the training, stabilizing, maturing of the body of Christ. Somebody said, well, why don't you focus on souls? You know what I feel like telling them? We got the Baptists that do that. My focus is the soul. Are you following me? They look at conversion, soul winning, conversion, as the goal to shoot for. Well, that's necessary. That's a necessary part of the body of Christ. But I think they're co-equal. I think bringing them on into maturity is just as important as bringing them to the Lord. Matter of fact, if you don't have the other with the one, what good is the one? Because they can be taken out. We have a devil that walks around here, people, if we hadn't figured that one out by now. Well, how do you know that the devil's walking around? Some of the fruit we bear. I didn't say you, I said we bear, all of us collectively. See, I'm not to build my ministry, but to build a house for God to inhabit. That's what He called me to do. So, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A position doesn't give you courage, but if you have courage, you could win the position. Are you following what I'm saying? Case in point, David and Saul. You know, David wasn't looking for position, but David got it. Saul was looking for position, so much so that he even violated the authority of God to get it and lost. Saul has his thousand, but David has his tens of thousands. Who promoted David? God promoted David. Who promoted Saul? Saul tried to promote Saul. You see, if you have courage, God will promote you. Are you following me? If you have courage, God will promote you. Because of David's courage, he replaced Saul. Men who showed courage without occupying the leadership positions are the ones that got it. Every time. Now, what about Nehemiah? Boy, Nehemiah is a very interesting story. Let's take a look at what he had going against him. Number one, he had no official authority with the Jews of the experience of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Number two, he had strong criticism of the workers. Number three, he faced barriers of a task no generation had done before. And number four, the workers who were volunteers, they were preoccupied with self-interest. And number five, most of his help wanted to quit halfway through the project. And number six, he built despite constant threats of an attack from the opposition. But Nehemiah took courage in the Lord. He took courage in the Lord. Another one, what about Moses? What did he have going against him? Well, number one, he had no official position of authority among the Jewish nation. Number two, he failed already once of bringing justice to a Jewish man. by killing an Egyptian. Number three, he was missing 40 years due to his fears. Number four, he had a history of ease in Pharaoh's palace where no Jew could identify with. Number five, he could not speak well by his own admission and lacked the self-confidence and desire to do the job when he was called of God. Other than that, he had no problem. Great leaders display courage based on what? Passion, not position. When people have a passion for position, they have no courage for it. You know what God said about the New Testament believer? When Jesus brought in the power of the new birth, he brought him in. He said, up until John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. But now there's a switch. He says, now, when the kingdom of God begins to suffer violence, he says, the violent take it by force. Are you following what I'm saying? You're going to sit there and you're going to sit there, devil, and you're going to accuse me that I can't have what God already paid for? I got news for you. You and I are going to do battle. I'm going to draw the sword right now. No man will live by that which is natural bread, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what is the drawn sword of the Word of God? It is your rhema in your heart and in your mouth. The Word which we speak. Thank God I've been delivered from religion. They keep God locked up. Some form of tradition someplace. But the kingdom of God is different. Whew. You can get something done. Now, in closing, I want to share the story that Kate McVade shared. It was very interesting. But before I do, I want to say this. God always asks us to do something we can't do within ourselves. God never asks you to do anything you can do within yourself. If that's the case, he would call a natural operating believer to do natural things. God is not natural, he's supernatural. And he's made you supernatural. That's why he said to the Corinthian church, you act as mere men. Why? Because you're not limited as mere men are limited. You're beyond that. So God never asks you to do something you can't do within yourself. Why? So he can do what he wants to do in you. It takes courage to hold vision. The first battle of courage is to conquer yourself. The first battle of courage is to be able to conquer yourself. You might as well write that one down because that is so true. If you got yourself in the way, you got a personality issue you've got to deal with. Listen, courage is the first awareness of what it means to be a leader in your life. Or in leadership position. It's courage. Courage makes things right, not fixing things up. Courage makes things right, not fixing things up. Courage deals with principles, not perception. Courage is conviction stronger than fears. It is a vision clearer than my doubt. It's a vision clearer than my doubt. Most of us are hampered by our courage that is filtering through doubt. How many of you have been on fire to do something and got discouraged because of doubt having a voice in your life? Every time that'll happen. You got to learn to ignore that doubt and go with it anyway. You've got to learn to be courageous with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'll never forget this story. Kate McVade shared one story. Dad Hagen shared another. He was sitting there. And he was talking to Jesus. He had a visitation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of their conversation, this demon spirit came down in between them both. It started screaming and distracting him. And he was trying to hear what the Lord's saying. And finally, Dad Hagin said, you know, why doesn't Jesus get rid of this thing so I can hear him?
I can't hear him. I'm sitting there, I'm trying to hear him. He was trying to look around. Demon would move, and he couldn't see Jesus. And finally he said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here." And that thing went. And Dad Hagin says, "Jesus, why didn't you do something?" And Jesus would just kept on talking, just like the conversation was ongoing. Finally, Jesus stopped and he looked at me and says, "Well, the authority is invested in your hands now, not mine." Kate McVeigh was talking about this young man and his wife were on a mission trip over in Mexico or something. And help me, ladies, kind of remember the story. But didn't he get under there and he had these hydraulic brakes? And anyway, the bus fell and crushed him. And he left his body, and he got halfway up, and he met Jesus. And he told Jesus, he said, "Jesus, send me back, send me back. I'm not through with my mission yet." And Jesus said, "Well, the authority is in the earth, not here." He says, "I've given the authority in the earth." He says, "The only way you're going to go back is somebody to have the authority to speak you back." Well, just then his wife came out of the bus, got down there and saw that mess, and said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death." And he went back into his body. You know, at Ronnie Sims' funeral, he was just the day that he signed for his $8 million loan to build a new church sanctuary, because they had to have it, they were growing so big, that he had a heart attack in his car driving to the bank. And he didn't want to let the bank know he had heart condition because it might affect the loan. Well, as he was driving to get the loan, he had this heart attack and died. And at the funeral, God asked me, he says, "What would you have done if you were there?" And I said, "I would have rose up and commanded that guy to come back to life." He was only in his 40, 45, somewhere around 44. I'd have commanded, I said, I'd have stood in that truck. And he says, "I had no one around to bring the authority to do that. And I would have much liked to have had him remain there." But there was no authority. Do you know that when things begin to deteriorate in your home, you know, it's hard to get Christians to understand that by every promise of God, you will survive the onslaughts of the enemy. And so you need to give people scripture and let that come out of their mouths, because that's the operation of the authority that's in the earth. You don't emanate the authority of God, nothing's going to get done. Just get a hold of a couple of promises and hang on them suckers, regardless of what you see in the natural, and they'll come to pass. Because if you believe that He is what He says He is, He's a certain total of all that He said He was, then He is a rewarder of those that diligently hang on to what He says. I'm doing that right now more than I've ever done in this ministry. Why, we don't give up. We just get more bolder. Are you following what I'm saying? We don't give up, we just get more courage. We don't give up, we just double up on our fellowship with Him. We don't give up because we don't let doubt rule us. You shouldn't let doubt rule you. You should let courage rule you. Amen? Did you guys get something here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not going to be of them that draw back. We're not going to be of those that draw back. God says, if you want to get something done, go for it.
Right.
Hallelujah. Problem is, you can't build one without the other. If you're not continually building the kingdom of God, what makes you think you're going to build a natural for yourself? You won't going to do it. You got to stay on top of that which is spiritual in order to conquer that which is natural. If you think you can do it all in the natural, go for it, baby. I know your end before it even begins. You know what? God knows your end when you do it His way. God don't understand your end when you do it your way. It don't work. Hallelujah. I've seen it happen too many times in this church. I've seen people start out with the kingdom of God, and somehow along the way they got sucked out. Well, we got an empty pew, is it? As a result of it. Well, It takes God at work in you to survive nowadays. It takes God at work within you nowadays. If God ain't at work within you, guess what? You will not succeed. But if God's at work within you, you will succeed. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah.